So here we are today, Baruch Hashem, with today's daf in Megillah, daf Lamed, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh. And we are holding, I think that we're holding on Itmar, which is one line up from the bottom of Chof Tet Amud Beit. And if it's a review, it'll be a little bit of review, don't be upset. Okay, so the question is like this. Chal yod b'aviyata tetzaveh. What happens if, now this does not happen at all, Bizman Hazeh, with the way that we've set up the calendar, and because of that, the Gemara is really not nogea us, la halacha, but what happens if Parshat Shkalim comes out in Tetzaveh? What's the problem? The problem is that Parshat Shkalim is the beginning of Kitisa, which is the way that we paskin yesterday, like Shmuel. And Kitisa, of course, is the next word after the end of Parshat Tetzaveh. So therefore, if you read Parshat Shkalim, it sort of looks like you're just going on in Tetzaveh, and it doesn't make the point of it being a special Parsha. So what do we do? Omer Rav Yitzchak Navcha, I'll tell you, you start at the beginning, Koroshita Miveyata Tetzaveh. You start at Tetzaveh, you go all the way up to Parshat Kitisa, and then the last guy reads from Kitisa until Viasita Kior Nechoshet, which is the end of Parsha Shkolim. I mean, what's the problem? Rabbi, what's the problem? The problem is that people are going to say, Amre, they will say that you simply have ended there. You just kept reading. They don't even understand that you've necessarily moved on to a different laning. It's the next words. So why in the world would somebody think that this is another Parsha, which is Parsha Shkolim? And remember, we saw yesterday, like from the Netziv, that the Iker Kriya would be the Parsha Shkolim. Elam Rabbi, therefore, says Abaye, you got to do something about this. You have to make it obvious that this is special. So what you do is you have the first six people who are laning. They read all the way through till V'yasita Kior Nechoshet. In other words, they go into Parshat Kitisa. And then one goes back and rereads Kitisa ad V'yasita Kior Nechoshet. So that way, it's clear that this last Kriya, because remember, in those days, they didn't do a re-Kriya for the Maftir. Of course, for us, this would be ridiculous. But for them, where they always added something, that was before the Takon of having the Kaddish in between. So because of that, it will be very clear that this is a separate laning, and it's done specially for Parshat Shkalim. Meitve, this doesn't make sense if we look at the Braita, because here it says that in the event that it was Chaliyot Parashas Muchala, if Shkalim falls out on a Shabbos where it's right next to the reading of Parshat Shkalim. So in other words, let's say it falls out on the Parsha before Parshat Shkalim, meaning Tetzaveh. That's our case, right? So Ben Milafanea, or suppose it falls out in Vayakel, which is the next Parsha, after Kitisa. So Ben Malacharea. So then what you have to do is you read Parshat Shkalim once, and then you read it again. So now, I mean, that's what Abaye said. So according to Abaye, that's perfect. But according to Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha, it's not true. He didn't say you read it again. He said what you do is you read it once, and you end it Tetzaveh, and then you read Parshat Shkalim. Ah, come off it, said Rabbi Yitzchak Navcha. You learn how to read. According to Abaye, this makes sense. According to Abaye, you bring a riot to Abaye? Ridiculous. Explain the words in this Braita that talk about when Parshat Shkalim falls out in Vayakel, okay? How do you understand? You read it again. Read it again? Even according to Abaye, Minecha? Yeah, the part about if it falls out in the week before, that makes sense. Okay? Tetzaveh, so you read it again, says Abaye, you go through the next Parsha's beginning, and then you reread it. How do you explain it? La'achareha? Where do you read it again, according to Abaye, when it falls out in Vayakel? Obviously, the meaning of this bright is not that you read it again on the same Shabbat. All that it's trying to say is that you're going to have 2 weeks in a row of the same laning. That's all that it's saying. So that if it comes out in Tetzaveh, you're going to be reading the first part of Kitisa for Parshat Shkalim. And next week, when it's Kitisa, you're going to be rereading the first part of Kitisa again, because it's the Parshat HaShavua. Nu. Same thing is true of Vayakel. If you read it the week before, you have to read Kitisa because it was the Parshat HaShavua. And now the next week turns out to be Parsha Shkalim. You're going to be reading Kitisa again for Parsha Shkalim. Thank you very much. So you're reading it twice, okay? That's obviously what it means. It doesn't mean anything according to Abaye either. So therefore, l'acharei ha'echem eshkachet ha'lamayit lach l'memer. Explain to me what you think it means. Obviously, it means kofla b'shabbatot. You're going to be rereading this Parsha on two separate Shabbatot in a row. That's all it's saying. So that's true about the word lifanea as well, when it comes out in Tetzaveh. Hachanami kofla b'shabbatot is what it's saying. And what happens if Parshat Shkalim falls out in Kitisa itself? So then what? So chaliyot b'kitisa atzma, says Reb Yitzchak Nafka, so I'll tell you what you do. Start the Parsha after the part about Parshat Shkalim. Start the Parsha with the Asita Kiyor Nechoshet, skipping over the first words from Kitisa until the Parsha of the Kiyor, right? Then you have six people reading that all the way up to the next week's Parsha Vayakel, and then you have one going back and reading the beginning of the Parsha, which is Parshat Shkalim. And that way you read the whole Parsha, V'chad kari mikitisa v'ad asita, and you've made the point because you read it in a way that makes it clear that the reading of that part of the Parsha was being done for a special reason as well, for Parsha Shkalim. No, says Abaye, come on, what are people going to think? People are going to think that the guy made a mistake. He read, forgetting to read the first Parsha. Then when they came to the end, somebody reminded him, hey, Balkere, you left out the first psukim. And he went back to finish up, to reread from the beginning, Kitisa, up until the Asita Kiyor Nechoshet, right? That's what they'll say. So Hashta Armila Mafreya, who the Kari is just going back to make up what he left out. It doesn't make sense. So here's what to do. You read from the beginning. Read Kitisa, go all the way up to Vayakel, and then one guy repeats Kitisa up until Vyasita Kiyor. And that way it's very clear that you're rereading the beginning for another reason completely, which is because it's Parsha Shkalim. Tani Kavati de Abaye. And in fact, the Braita says this. Chaliyot b'kitisa atzma. If Shkalim comes out on the Parshas HaShavua of Kitisa, Korinota, so we read the entire Parsha Shkalim as part of the Parshat HaShavua, meaning from the beginning of Kitisa. And then when we get to the end of the Parsha, Kof Limota, and we say it again. Okay, before we go on, now that we have our minion, to say the least. So I had mentioned yesterday that I had wanted to add some interesting points about the Dinim of Beit HaKnesset, which is very, very nogea. And that would be the problem of Asiyas Kapandria in the Beit HaKnesset. So what exactly would be the halach of Asiyas Kapandria? So remember we learned, the Gemara asks, well, what do we do if we have to call somebody out from shul? So we go in, we sit down, say a pasuk or something, and then you call the guy out. So the question is, would that help if it's pouring outside? So now you want to go into the shul in order to get out of the rain. You're not allowed to go into, use the Beit HaKnesset to keep yourself dry or to get the air conditioning. So you go in and you say a pasuk, you know, and whatever, you sit and learn, and that way you're able to stay in there. Or if you want to make a kapandria, would you be able to cut through the Beit HaKnesset? If instead of cutting directly through, you sit down first. So that's the question. So it's very interesting because the Mishneh Berurah brings in the Bir Halacha that even though you're not allowed to make a kapandria, but if you would just sit down and you would learn first, then you would be able to go out the other door. Because he says it's the same as needing to call somebody out at a shul. So you go in, sit down, you call the guy out. And therefore, it should be exactly the same thing. The question is, what would be the din about coming in from the rain? So strangely enough, over there, the Mishneh Berurah writes himself, and not in his Bir Halacha, that it doesn't help. You can't just come in and sit down and learn, and that it's not the same as calling somebody out of the Beit HaKnesset. So what exactly would be the nafkamina between the two cases, where you're going in for making a shortcut, which Bishop Burr says you're allowed to do if you sit down, or coming in because of the rain or needing the air conditioning, which says you're not allowed to do. So, I mean, the truth is that there are obvious differences. I mean, one difference is that the coming in order to go through the shul, to go out another way, is lemaisa, not in and of itself, where I'm walking in, that it's obvious in the walking in itself that I haven't done anything wrong when I walked in. It's only when I walk out the other door that I'm walking in. It's clear that I'm walking in, therefore, inappropriately. So because of that, if I sit down in between, so then the walking in was for the sitting down, and then the walking out is unrelated to that. Masha Inkin, with the etzem walking in itself is a problem, because the only reason I'm walking in, the very moment I come into the door, I'm being over on coming into a shul for the purposes of using it to protect me from the rain. And therefore, over there, the Mishnah Berurah says it's not mutter. Now, there's other possibilities to be mechalek. It's possible that basically when you're walking through the shul, remember, you're not using the actual building of the shul. Remember, we had like the halacha in the event that there was a path there that was there before. So then you're right as the rabbim to continue to walk through and just cut across because the path was there, that you retain. Because the fact that they built a shul on that path doesn't make the path something that you can't use, because you're not using the shul to cut across the path. The shul's in the way. If there were no shul here, you'd be walking without the shul. Well, that's true anytime you're making a kapandria. If the shul wouldn't be there, you'd just simply be walking through. Masha Inkin, if the shul wouldn't be there, neither would the air conditioning, or neither would the protection from the rain. So lemaisa, the cases are very different. So it's interesting. Something that appears on the surface to be the same ends up being a totally different picture when you look at it that way. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah is mechalek between the two cases without really explaining himself why. So, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the question is the only problem because it looks bad, the kapandria, or is there really something that is wrong with it vis-a-vis the shul? Okay, anyway, getting back to our case, I mentioned that we would do this yesterday. I just want to make sure we had it. So now, the next case that we had in the mission is making up the times for how it is that we know when we're supposed to read each one of the four parshas. Now, each one of them has a reason for why we read it at the time that we read it. So we spoke about the idea of the shkolik and why it is that we read the parsha shkolik. So because of that, we're going to look into the specifics. Let's say Rosh Chodesh, we said in the Mishnah, Rosh Chodesh Adar, if it comes out any time during this week, so then we read on the Shabbos before. Okay, so now let's think about that. What about if it comes out on Erev Shabbos? So in other words, the Rosh Chodesh, if I'm going to read the next day, I will be reading on the second day of Adar. So Rav says, what's the difference? Bottom line is, you have to read from Parsha Shkolim before the time, because you need to have those 30 days or those 15 days, according to Shimon Gamaliel, you need to have that time. So you read it before. I don't care whether it comes out on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or Friday. Shmuel says, no, if it comes out on Friday, then we read Parsha Shkolim the next day, which means that it's going to be on the second of the month. Rav says, Magdimi, look, I don't understand what's the difference if it's Erev Shabbos, says Rav. Didn't we say that we needed those 15 days, right, or the 30 days, depending on whose sheet? So 15 days before the banks open, in order for people to take care of their shkolim at the bank. And if it was talking about the sheet of the Chachamim, so then it's 30 days before the etzem need to go ahead and to bring those shkolim, month before. So what's the difference? How can I take away one of the days? I mean, im kein, batzelu yume shulchonais. Now, obviously, Rav is going according to Rip Shimon's shita over here, because he says that the problem is the days for the banks to open. I need 15 days. Shmuel says, no, I'll tell you why. It's very different because I don't care if I put it off for a day. Because think about it. When are the banks going to open? Sof-sof. When is the 15th going to fall out if Rosh Chodesh falls out on Erev Shabbos? Tell me. The 15th is going to be on an Erev Shabbos. So you think that the banks are going to first open on Erev Shabbos? That you need to have 15 days before Erev Shabbos? If they weren't open before, they're certainly not going to open on Erev Shabbos. They're going to wait till Sunday to open. And therefore, since the issue over here is to have 15 days, because I also hold like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, the same way you do, Rav. So since all I need the 15 days for is for the banks. So fine, if it comes out on Erev Shabbos, it's a banking holiday anyway. And therefore, I still am going to have 15. So I might as well lay the Parsha the next week. Because the closer that I read it to the time that it's actually pertinent, the better. So let me put it off a day. I'll read it on Shabbos. Because sof-sof chamesu b'malei Shabbat ha-mikla. The 15th is going to end up coming out on an Erev Shabbos. And therefore, the banks won't open up until Sunday. Z'shulchanot lo nafki ad chad b'shabbata. And therefore, you're going to have 15 days, even if you put it off to the second of the month. Hilchoch me'achrin. So therefore, otherwise, we're going to have a hefsek. We don't like the hefsek. Why don't we like the hefsek? Because remember that the Arba Parshiot, it's not just that there are four Parshiot. It's that there are four Parshiot. That makes a big difference because we need to see these as a unit. There's something about the Arba Parshiot that is ma'ached between the entire period and the inyonim that we're concerning ourselves with that integrate Adar and Nisan in all these different ways and Purim and Pesach in all these different ways. So we would much prefer to have as fewer gaps in those Arba Parshios as possible. So let's take a look at the Lashon of the Mishnah and see whether it's mashma more like Rav or more like Shmuel. Tonight. Chaliyot betoch haShabbat. Look, the Mishnah seems to be saying very clearly, if Rosh Chodesh comes out sometime during that week, then we read the Shkolim before the Shabbat of, in other words, we introduce that week on Shabbos with Parsha Shkolim. And then we're going to have, unfortunately, an interruption the next week because we're going to have that extra Shabbos. We don't want Parsha Zohar to be a long time before Purim. We want Parsha Zohar to introduce Purim because it's all about Amalek. So because of that, we'll put a extra Shabbos where we'll go back to reading the normal Parsha. We won't have any Parsha of the four Parsha. And then the week after that, we will have Parsha Zohar. That's what it says. So, I mean, if it says any time in that week, doesn't that include Erev Shabbos? I mean, that's what Rav said. I don't care when it falls out in the week. The bottom line is, I want to make sure that I always have 15 days minimum between the time that I'm hearing about the Shkolim and the 15th of the month. That's all I need to know. Stop giving me this business, whether it'll be a banking holiday or not. We made one takana. So, says the Gemara, no, Shmuel will say, it means only if it's betoch haShabbat, in the middle of that week. Not if it's on the next Erev Shabbos. Okay, tell me what you're going to say about this, Bryce, all right? I'd love to see how you fit that cheetah in here. Ezohi Shabbat Rishona, which is defined as the first Shabbos to read Parsha Shkolim. Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Lihiyot Betocha. Wherever Rosh Chodesh falls, now dig this. Ve'afilu be'erev Shabbat. Okay, put that in your pipe and smoke it, Shmuel. What are you going to do with that? It says be'erev afilu erev Shabbat. And that's exactly what Rav says. I don't care when it comes out. If it comes out sometime, even erev Shabbos, I mean, I'm assuming that's what it means, right? My lava afilu be'erev Shabbos dumya detucha. You said, whenever Shabbat comes out, whenever the Rosh Chodesh comes out, bitocha, even when that bitocha is erev Shabbat, right? In other words, Tocha, we're Magdim. So then Erev Shabbos, we're Magdim. That's what it's saying. I mean, I don't understand how else you can read it. Says Shmuel, well, it's true that the way you're quoting that Braita, that's what it says, but you have to change it a bit. It's not Bitocha. It's any Shabbos where Rosh Chodesh falls on that Shabbos or even on Erev Shabbos of that Shabbos, is what it's saying. So it's not referring to the days of the week, Betocha, it's referring to if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, but, or on Erev Shabbos, that's the week of Shabbos that you should read Parsha Shkolim. So that is, of course, the opposite meaning than the way Rav has it, because it's not referring to the case where it falls out in the middle of the week, it's referring to the case where it falls out on the Shabbos, or Erev Shabbos. Okay, truth is, this is an old machlokas. This is machlokas Rav and Shmuel. What do we do in the event that Rosh Chodesh falls on the Erev Shabbos? Are we makdim to the previous Shabbos, leaving a gap afterwards, or do we actually read it on the second of the month and avoid the gap? So, ketanoi, misargin l'shabbatot. What we do is, remember we had the sugya before, at the beginning of the Masechta, about misargim, because lo havayadi rabbanan my serugin. Misargim means having gaps in between. So, misargim l'shabbatot. So what we're going to do is we're going to have gaps over here of these arba shabbatot. So that means that there's going to be a Shabbos between Parsha Shkolim and between Parsha Zohar. There's no way to avoid having that missed Shabbat. Whereas Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, no, not necessary. Ain misargin. Of course, I don't mean ever, never. There's got to be times when we are misargin, of course. Now, when do I say ain misargin? I mean that if Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out even on Erev Shabbos, that then we will still not have a gap. Oh, that's exactly what Shmuel said. There you go. But obviously, if Rosh Chodesh Adar falls somewhere in the week besides Erev Shabbos, then of course we're going to have a gap. So, Avav Bizman Shechal Liot B'toch HaShabbat, Magdim V'Korei B'Shabbat Shavra, you're going to have to go back. And that means you're basically going to be reading Parsha Shkolim in the month of Shvat, which I don't like, but there's nothing to do about it. So Afa Pishu Shvat, nonetheless, it still will serve as an introduction for Purim. Okay, let's move on now. So it turns out that we have a machlokas, basically. Shmuel was going early to the Rebbe Shimon, Rav was going early to the Rebbe Yehuda, and therefore they both have a marker. Now, the next case that we have is Parshat Zachor. So, Bishniya, on the second Shabbos, we read Zachor, Itmar. So now, what happens when Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos? When do we read Parshat Zachor? So what that would mean is that the 14th is Purim. Whenever we say Purim Shachar, we mean the main Purim, which is the 14th. And when would we read it? So Rav says, what do you mean, when do we read it? We read it before the Shabbos before, right? Magdimim Parshat Zachor. So we go back to the Shabbos before, and that is on the 8th of the month. So on the 8th of the month, we will read Parshat Zachor, and that's as close as we can get to Purim. Shmuel says, no, we could read Parshat Zachor actually on Purim Shebemukafim. So if we read Parshat Zachor on the 15th of the month, so then it's very close to Purim. Rav says, yeah, exactly. It's very close to Purim. It's so close to Purim that you missed Purim, for heaven's sakes, if you're a 14th-er. So Rav says, Makdimin, well, obviously, doesn't it say, Hayamima Elu Nizkarim V'Na'asim? That means first you do the Asiya, and then you do the Zechira. And that's not what you're doing. Because Ke'echad Lo Tiktom Asiya LeZechira. If you're going to do the actual reading of the Parsha Zohar, so the Zechira, part of the Zechira, obviously is Zohar Tzasher HaSalacha Amalek, and therefore reading Parsha Zohar and then keeping Purim should be in that order. Mashenke, what you're doing is first you kept Purim on Erev Shabbos, and then you read Parsha Zohar the next day. So you can't do that. And even though, I mean, in Lamaisa, The din is that if you live in a krach, that is mukaf choma, you will be keeping Purim on the 15th. But as we'll see, first of all, Rav holds, this is all that we see so far. I hope that Gavi is not going outdoors today to infect the rest of the world. Good. So therefore, what we do is, even though it's the, right now, we're going to see it's even worse than this, but right now, it appears that what Rav is saying is, we cannot rely on the fact that the 15th is going to be at the same time as Parsha Zohar. We need that the 14th should be, that's what it sounds like, should be at the same time. Now, that's not so clear, but we're going to see that it isn't true, actually. He demands that Parsha Zohar be before and not together with. It has to be an actual kedima. That ends up being the sheet of Rav. So far, we don't know that. Okay, so he doesn't want Asiya to come out before the Zechira. Whereas Shmuel says, no, ma'achrin, because Shmuel says, look, I mean, there's plenty of people that are keeping Purim on that day, on Shabbos, if you live in a mukaf. So kiven de'ika mukafim da'adib chameisar. So then it works out very well. You have the Asiya and the Zechira that are coming out concomitantly. So we have Asiya, Zechira, Bahadi, Adarika, Asiyan. So you're not being over on doing the Asiya before the Zechira. It doesn't have to be, the Zechira has to be before the Asiya. It just shouldn't be the other way around, right? Okay, so let's assume that's the machloka so far. So now look at the Mishnah and see if it fits. Tonight, on the second Shabbos, we read Zohar. That's what it says. Now, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, then what's the din? Ki mikla reish yarcha b'Shabbos. So now, if Rosh Chodesh came out, when is Purim? Purim is on Erev Shabbos. And it says the second week is Zohar. Oh, so then that means the second week, that's the eighth of the month. And that's exactly what Rav said, that even though the 14th is Erev Shabbos, we will, in fact, read it the week before, on the 8th. So it's a bit fairish a Mishnah like Rav. Amrif Papa, come on, you're reading the Mishnah all wrong. The second week doesn't mean the second week of the month. It means the second week after we made the break where we had no choice in order to have Zohar next to Purim. And it's not talking about the case when Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos. It's talking about the Shnia. It's talking about the case in the Mishnah where Rosh Chodesh comes out during the week. Not a continuation is, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbos, and then the second one, no. If Rosh Chodesh comes out during the week, then we have a Havsaka. You're all agreed to that. Then the second week following the Havsaka is when you're going to be reading Zohar. Well, what about the Braisa? The Braisa says like this, Tashma. Ezo Shabbat Shniyah, what's the second week of the four Parshiyot? Kol Shechal Purim Liyot B'tocha Afilu Be'erev Shabbat. It's the week in which Purim comes out, Purim meaning the 14th, and even if Purim comes out on an Erev Shabbat, there we go again. We have exactly the language that Rav would say. If Purim comes out on Erev Shabbat, so we read the week before. Think what it means. It means that the Erev Shabbat is the same as if Purim comes out b'tocha, any time during the week, including even Erev Shabbat, right? So just like tocha, we're all agreed we're magdimin. So if it comes out on Erev Shabbat, it's the same as the tocha. Rav is 100% correct. Says Shmuel, well, you tried this one on me before, and I told you that the b'tocha was not the right way to read it. The right way to read it is ba, wherever it comes out on Shabbat itself. So it's saying, if Purim comes out on that Shabbat, or even if Purim comes out on Erev Shabbat, that is when it is that you're supposed to be laning on that Shabbat after Purim. Even if Purim was Erev Shabbat, you read Parshat Zohar on the 15th, which is the Purim of Mukafim. V'chein tana d'vei Shmuel, and that's exactly the way this Braisa appeared in the Beis HaMedrash of Shmuel. The word was ba, not betocha. So, of course, that changes the whole meaning to the opposite. So now it's exactly what Shmuel said and not what Rav says. Richie, you're falling asleep. So, chaliyot b'shabbat atzma. Yeah, I know the sugyas that put you to sleep, Richie. It's anything that requires a little bit of concentration on the order of things and so on. It's the same thing that got you down to the principal's office long ago. You can't get away with anything. No, you're muted.
I must be hot to be able to get through one of these several,
No, it just needs a little concentration over there, Sir Richard. Come on. We don't want to lose you. You know, in the old days, we used to say, just stand up, Richie. Now what we need to say is just keep your Zoom camera on. Anyway, okay. So now, another issue. What happens if Purim comes out on Shabbat? Meaning that the 14th is Shabbat. So then, the way we've understood the sugya until now is that then even Rav would agree, because Rav was only saying you cannot rely on the 15th to be the same as Niskarim v'Naasim, right? Okay, but if it was the 14th, you could read according to everybody on the same day that we're keeping the Asiya, which is the 14th, we are also going to be doing the Zechira, which is reading Zachora Sasher Asa Lecha Amalek, Lechora. So therefore, says Rav Huna, great. In that case, everybody is Maida. Even Rav would be Maida. That we certainly are not going to be Matim to a Shabbos earlier. We'll read it on the 14th, which is the Shabbos, which Purim is Chal on directly. Because then you're not going to have this problem of, well, you're doing the Asiya before you're doing the Zechira. You're not. You're doing it at the same time. Okay? So therefore, even Rav would agree. Rav Nachman says, no, Rav would not agree. Actually, Adayan hi machloket, because Rav holds that you have to actually have the Asiya following the Zechira and not together with. That to have it simultaneously is not the same as what the Pasuk is insisting. The Pasuk is insisting first Nizkarim and then Naasim. And in fact, Itmar Nami, Omre Pchir Barav, Omre Baba, Omar Rav, Purim Shechal Leyot B'Shabbat, we're still Makdim Parsha Zohar to the previous Shabbat. Now, gentlemen, we have to ask ourselves, what exactly does it mean when it says that it would be okay, according to Rav, because then we would be having the Zechira and the Asiya at the same time, because we're going to be reading in the morning from Parsha Zohar, which is fine, so Nizkarim, and then Naasim. What's the Naasim? What are we doing on Shabbat, if it's Purim? This doesn't happen in our time. Shabbat doesn't come out on the 14th, but then it did come out. Okay, so explain to me what the Asiya is. Now, as you know, there is this major question about what the din is if you have the Purim Mishulash, which is Nogea Bizman Hazeh. So when we say Asiya, what is the Asiya? Because remember, we have this major machlokas about what, and this is based on the Yerushalmi, that Purim comes out on Shabbos. Do we make the Purim Seuda on Shabbos? Now here it says the Asiya of the Mukafim is going to be on Shabbat. That's what it says, because I mean, otherwise, how could we say that the 15th is considered to be the Asiya according to Shmuel also? Everybody is agreeing that there is an Asiya on Shabbat itself. Unbelievable. And yet the Shulchan Aruch paskins, not like that. That we do not have a Seuda on Shabbat. So what could it mean? What exactly would the Asiya be? And in fact, because of this Gemara, there were many who were Noyeg and made the Seuda on Shabbat. Now, if you learn that the Asiya could be the Kriyat HaTorah, where we read Vayavo Amalek of Purim's Vayavo Amalek instead of Zechor Asher Asa Lecha Amalek, that would be the way that we commemorate Purim as an Asiya. Okay, maybe. So then it wouldn't be a riot to the Seuda. It's a whole question that the Chazon Ish speaks about. But Lamaisa, there's a lot of personal eduyot to the fact that the minhag used to be, certainly among the Sephardim in Yerushalayim, that when it was a Purim Mishulash, they insisted on making a big meal for Purim on Shabbos itself, because that was the Asiya. In fact, the truth is that nowadays, they don't do that. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach brings la'halacha that was not, there's no, if there was such a minhag, maybe it was the Moroccan Sfarim bring it, there was such a minhag, but that we don't have a minhag like that. Some say that it's nice to add specifically to your Seuda to bring out something l'chavet Purim. Maybe Richie will be memuchan in this case and have not this new stuff that he's talking about, but the good old Hachana of Talisker for Purim. Bezrat Hashem. Okay, anyway, let's continue. So in this case, according to Rav, we would actually be Makdim even then. Now let's move on to the third Shabbat. The third is Parshat Parah. Tana Rabbanan, what defines the third week? Kol she'smucha l'Purim mi'acharea. Whatever Shabbos comes out as close to Purim as possible, after Purim, meaning after the Purim of Tetvav. So then that means if the next Shabbat is still Purim because it's the Tetvav, it's a Purim of Mukafot, Choma, so then it would be the next Shabbat. Problem is that Itmar, Reb Chama Bar Chanina Amar, that the correct time for Parshas Parah is the Shabbat that is closest to Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And that would end up being a week afterwards, because then there would be a gap between the first Shabbos after Purim. If you go to the first Shabbos after Purim, you're going to have a gap again before you get to be reading HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. So which one is right? The Braisa or what Reb Chama said? No, he's not arguing on the price, huh? Lo plige, it depends if Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes out on a Shabbat or not. So where was Reb Chama saying that it should be the one that is closest to Rosh Chodesh Nisan? That is, if Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes out on a Shabbat. So over there, since we have HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem, and that HaChodesh Hazeh Lochem includes all of the dinim of, you know, the Pesach at that time, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, make sure that you know, be'asor l'chodesh hazeh, take your Korban Pesach. Here's what you have to do with your Korban Pesach. And that was said to Moshe on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. It says, Kadosh Baruch Hu pointed to the moon. So we can't read that after Rosh Chodesh Nisan. But we could put it all the way back to Rosh Chodesh, because that's when it was said to Chatchila. So because of that, we can have Parshas Parah to be read close to that Shabbos. If Rosh Chodesh comes out on Shabbat, then that will be Parshat HaChodesh, and the week before, which turns out to be the 23rd of Adar, will be the closest that you can get to that. But if it's on the 23rd of Adar, it is not on the Shabbat that follows Purim. It's on the Shabbat that's closest to Rosh Chodesh Adar. That's exactly the difference. If I have to be Makdim HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, because Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes out sometimes during that week, so then the week before I can't use for Parshas Parah, because I have to use it for Parshas HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem. So therefore I have to move Parah back 1 week, and then it'll come out immediately after Purim. So basically the ideas are very, very straightforward. It's clear why each one of these parshiot comes out when it does, because of the particular constraints on the reasoning of why it is that we're reading these parshas at all. And therefore comes along the Mishnah to talk about Berevi'it. What is the fourth Shabbos, which is Parshas HaChodesh? So let's take a look at the Braita, and the Braita puts it all together. The truth is, we've already quoted this Braita in bits and pieces, because this is the Braita that we were trying to constantly bring a riot to Rav, and then Shmuel kept saying, no, that's not the way to read it. The way to read it is Ba, not Betocha. Putting all of it together is the following Braita. It's a ton of Rabbon. Rosh Chodesh Adar Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat. So then we read Kitisa on that Shabbos, because that's Parsha Shkolim. And what's the Haftorah? The Haftorah is Yehoyada HaKohen, and we spoke about all of that, why it's Yehoyada HaKohen, and what that has to do with Parshas Shkolim. What defines that Shabbat Rishonah? All of this we read before, so it's really not complicated. Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Adar Liyot B'Tocha, V'afilu B'Erev Shabbat, and of course Shmuel says, no, it's Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Boah, fine. So here, even it comes out on Erev Shabbos, and this is the way we paskin. We paskin like Rav in all of these cases, and therefore, we might as well just keep the girsa as it is. And even if the last day of the week is Rosh Chodesh Adar, we're going to end up reading Parsha Shkolim in the middle of Shvat. So this would be even if it's Erev Shabbat. The second of the four parshios is Parsha Zohar. And what exactly do we read? We read the Parsha of Shaul. Bakadeti et asher asa Amalek, which, by the way, the Sephardim have this minhag of adding the pasuk before that. The Temanim add a few psukim before that. I mean, it does not seem to be mevusas well on the Gemara, and it's not brought by any of the original, but the Rambam doesn't bring it, or nobody brings it. So where exactly it comes from, that minhag, I don't know. The Pasha says we start with the words, Pekadati Shashira Samalek. Now, what defines that Shabbat Shniya? Any week which Purim comes out in the course of that week, even if Purim comes out on Erev Shabbos, which is Rav's approach, and we can, since we paskin that way, we do not have to change the Girsa in the Braita the way Shmuel did. Bishlishit, the third Shabbat is the Parsha of Pora Aduma, and the Haftorah for the Pora Aduma is basically from Yecheskel, where it says, V'zarakte lechemayim tohorim, and so on and so forth. So there, we're talking about the entire Klal Yisrael becoming tohor, with the mayim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, at the time of Bias HaMashiach, will be metakein, the Tumah of Yisrael. And when is that Shabbat, which is Parshas Pora, the third Shabbat? Kol shesmucha lepurim yachareha, wherever it comes out, it's close to Purim the next week. And of course, as we defined it too, that's not necessarily true, because it really depends if Parshat HaChodesh could end up being read on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So Rosh Chodesh Nisan came out on a Rosh Chodesh, so then it would actually, there would be a gap in that case, and only in that case there would be another gap between Purim and the Shabbos after Purim and the Purim of Pora. But then there would be no other gaps. We would go from Pora to HaChodesh, one week after the other. Why would we want to put it off as much as possible? Because since the idea of Pora is really the Azara to Yisrael, that they should become Torah for the Regel, so we want it to be as close and as relevant to the Regel as possible. So since it's Tyrus Yisrael, we bring it then. Fine. What is the Haftorah for HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem? Maftirin, did we do that? Bereviyat HaChodesh Hazeh, and the Maftir is Ko Amar Hashem Elokim, Berishon, Be'achad LaChodesh. So we have over there, again, the entire story of the Chinuch, of the Beis HaMikdash, that's going to be when Mashiach comes, and that will be during Berishon, Be'achad LaChodesh, here's the Karbonis that you bring, and then that whole week of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, just like the original Chinuch of the Mishkan during Nisan was during that period, here too in Yecheskel, we start at the first day of Nisan. Okay, all of that is, as we've explained, what defines it? Eizoi Shabbat Revi'it, Kol Shechal Rosh Chodesh Nisan Lihiyot Betocha. And that would be true even if it comes out Be'erev Shabbat. So unless Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes out on Shabbat itself, then we are able to read it on that Shabbat, and we don't have to go all the way back before. And over here, we don't have the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, because everybody's moda. Shmuel is also moda that in this case, I don't care when Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes out. If Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes out on Erev Shabbat, we're still going to have to read it before, because if not, we would miss the time that the parsha was actually set to Moshe Rabbeinu, which is mamish on Rosh Chodesh. It has nothing to do with the amount of time in between. So therefore, Shmuel does not argue on this case. It certainly means bitocha, anytime at all. And then b'chamishit, chozrin l'kisidran. If it's the next Shabbos, we go back to the regular Seder. What do you mean when you say the regular Seder? I mean, what Seder did we violate? The Seder Maya. Rabbi Ami says, what do you mean? We violated the Seder of the Parshas HaShavua. We did not read the Parshas of the Shavua on any of the Arba Parshias. The Parsha that we read on Shabbos was the Parsha Shkolim, or was the Parsha of HaKodesh Zalachem, and there was no Parshat HaShavua. Whereas, so that's Rabbi Ami, L'Seder Parshiot, who Chozer. Whereas Rabbi Yirmiya, no, we still have a Parshat HaShavua, but as we saw yesterday, we talked about the Netziv's approach 2 days ago, that the main Kriya is indeed from the Arba Parshiot, but we still maintain our Kriya of the Parshat HaShavua. The only thing that is different is the Seder Haftoras. So there we read a special Haftorah that is relevant not to the Parashat HaShavua, which is the norm that the Haftorah has something to do with Parashat HaShavua. During the Arba Parshiot, the Haftorah has nothing to do with the Parashat HaShavua, and it just goes according to, as we just said, the Haftorah is some expression of the Arba Parshiot. Omer Abaye, I don't understand how we can exactly read the Mishnah not like Rabbani. I mean, it makes so much sense. Look at the Mishnah. Rabbani says we're talking about going back to the Seder HaParshiot, which we have violated because of the Arba Parshiot. Well, how else do you read the Mishnah? I mean, Kavatsi Rabbani Mistavra. Look at the Mishnah. It's not. The Mishnah said, Lakol Mafsiki. We're going to have this Hefsek for all events, not only the Arba Parshiot, but for all events. If we have any Yontav, we're going to be Mafsik. And even for Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, Ta'aniyot, Ma'amadot, and for Yom Kippur, we're going to be Mafsik. Tiny, you understand? How are you being Mafsik? There's no Haftorah. A Tinus can't come out on Shabbos, right? So we're not talking about a Parshas HaShavua. And we're not talking about a Haftorah. It comes out, let's say, on a Monday, or it comes out on a Thursday. So if you're telling me we're going to be mafsik, what exactly will you be mafsik, my dear friends, on a Tinus? You'll be mafsik the Kriya that you would have had on Sheni v'Chamishi. That has nothing to do with Haftorah. So obviously the Mishnah is using the word Hafsaka in terms of Haftorahs, not in terms of any Parsha. I mean, in terms of the parsha, not in terms of any haftarahs. This is a real vanhapachu today. Okay, so there's no other way to read it. So of course it's got to be what Rabbami said. So, I mean, look, if you say, like Rabbami, that we're talking about Seder Parsha to Choser, it makes sense. Hanadika Parsha b'chol. So then you have on a Monday or a Thursday, you have a parsha. But according to the Mandi Omar, who's claiming that Seder Parsha laftarah to Choser, which is Rabbi Yirmiyah, there is no Haftorah. So how could we be mafsik the Haftorah? Haftorah b'chol mi'ika? So what does Rabbi Yirmiyah say to that? He says, use your brains. I mean, obviously, contextually, the word hafsaka is to be understood whatever we're being mafsik. It just means don't be mafsik whatever you have to be mafsik. So if you're talking about a case where there is Haftorah, so then we're talking about being mafsik the Haftorah. If you're talking about being mafsik a Parsha, so then we'll be mafsik the Parsha. Of course. I agree to that. So it's fine. How can he eat? I mean, listen, when we're talking about Yontev, we're talking about being mafsik the Parsha Tashavua. We're talking about Monday and Thursday. We're talking about being mafsik, the normal kriya of the Parshat HaShavua. There's other cases where, like the Arba Parsha, fine, over there we're talking about whatever we need to be mafsik. In that case, we are mafsik, the Haftaras, and not the Parsha. Just use your brains. So I don't understand. In other words, basically it seems to me, this is how Rashi understands it. The Gro is very much against it. But this is how Rashi understands it. It seems to me that what you're saying is that Aliba de Rabbi Yirmiyah, we will do as little damage as possible to the normal Seder. That's what you're saying. So in other words, if we have to, we will be mafsik the Parsha, and that's all there is. But if we don't have to be mafsik the Parsha, so then we'll maintain the original Parsha and we'll have the Kriya as the Arba Parshas, and then we'll just change the Haftorah. That I understand we have to be mafsik. But then if that's the case, if we need to avoid, as much as possible, making a hafsaka, which is what Rabbi Yirmiyah is saying, then why are we making a hafsaka on a tainus? We don't need to make the hafsaka on the tainus because we have two lanings on the tainus, right? So what we could do is we could read the regular Parshat HaShavua. Let's say it's a Monday or a Thursday. So we have a regular Monday and Thursday Kriya in the morning. So Likra Mitzafra Be'inyona of the Yuma, and then when we come to Mincha, we'll read from the Parsha of the Tainus. Why not? Then we can keep both. And I thought Rabbi Yirmiyah very much wants us to attempt to keep to Seder as much as we can. So why don't we? I mean, there's one way out of this, okay? But if we're going to take that way out, then it's clear that it's a riot to Rav Huna. Misayela Ravuna, because Omer Ravuna mitzafra kinufya. Now this takes us back to Ta'anit. Ravuna said that always the morning of a Tainis, that's when we bring everybody together, and the amazing scene where we go over all of the problems that are in the city. So if people are not acting properly, it's dealt with. So if people owe people money and they're not paying money back, it's dealt with. If people are talking during davening, it's dealt with. If people are talking Lashon Hara, it's dealt with openly in everybody's presence. My God, you imagine what a tainis was worth in those days. So, okay, but that takes an awful lot of time, takes an awful lot of energy, and there was no time for Kriyas HaTorah. That's how Rashi understands it. And therefore, they did not have a Kriya in the morning. So, and this is, remember, we had this back in Tainis. Heche Avdina, how do we actually work that out? Well, Abaye says we work it out like this, from the very beginning, Mitzafra until noontime. That's the time that we go over everything in town, my Nina Bemile Damata. Then from noon, Mipagadi Yuma, until we're up to the middle of the afternoon, Lepanya, which is one quarter of the day, Riva de Yuma. So then we read from the Torah, and then we have the Haftarah that we do on the Tainis, and that leaves us a quarter of the day, which is the time for Mincha Ketana, and that we use for the davening. So we're Boi Rachame, like it says, Gufa, in the whole story which we had in Ezra Nehemiah, that they made such a Tainis, and that's exactly where we learn all of it's from. So it says, Vayikra'u b'sefer Torah Hashem Elokeim Revi'as Hayom. We were laning for one fourth of the day, and then Revi'as Hayom for another fourth of the day. We were davening Misvadim, and we were Mishtachavim, and doing Teshuvah, and saying Vidui. These were serious Tainios. So that's the way we do it. Yeah, but how do you know which half is which? I understand. Maybe it only says half of the day. I mean, maybe we start Epochana. Let's say the first half of the day is what we're talking about. First half of the day, we do the laning and the tshuva, and then we get everybody together to do the things about the city. No. Lo sakataitach. We had this whole sugya in Ta'anit. Lo sakataitach. That's absolutely not the case. Dichtiv. Ve'elai yazfu kol chared b'divrei Elohei Yisrael. This is what Ezra talks about. This is when they found out about all of the assimilation that was going on. So it says that around me, everybody that was worried about, this is where the word comes from, charedim. Kol chared. Anyone that was shaken, he was moved by the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and was concerned about the Mal HaGolah, Vani Yoshev Mishomem, I was sitting there like absolutely, I mean, in a daze at the things that I was hearing. Ad L'minchata Erev. And then it says, Ubin Minchata Erev, it was only then that I was kamti, I got up, and I'm being misane. And then we have the beautiful tefillah and the nichlamti boshti v'nichlamti Elohai la'arim panai alecha ki avotenu rabu l'mala rosh. That's the things that we say. That is, it says over here that started only after was chatzot. So obviously that is the way that we do it. Now, if we just have a, do we? We don't have any minutes. Yeah. Huh? We don't have any minutes. Well, you know, maybe I should be a bad boy again, even though we don't particularly have these minutes. I just wanted to point out to you that these are the little esoteric secrets that you see in the back of your sitter, or that you see in your little your Purim books, where they have these little charts about where the various parshias came out. Now, these, again, remember my opinion about all these kind of things. They make it much harder to understand. And these are like trying to learn Yavamas with the charts. I mean, forget about it. But basically, these charts are all over the place. And Rashi brings the simonim. These esoteric simonim are all over the place. So you might as well learn what they mean, even though It's just silliness, because it's easy once you know what the principles are. You can always figure out when the Arba Parshios are. But if you don't know the principles, you got to figure it out according to what date it comes in, and then it gets very complicated. So in order to make it more complicated, they gave us simonim to remember the complications for those who don't like to think about the real meaning of things. So basically, this is the strange simon that you find written all over of Zatu Bu Dad, and then Ubayo. Make sure you provide that bio. Okay, so what are those simonim? So the Zatu simply means that if Rosh Chodesh Adar comes out on a Zion, which is a Shabbos, so then the only missing parsha will be on Tet Vav. Because Rosh Chodesh, we're going to read Parsha Shkolim, and then the next week we're going to have Parsha Zohar, because we had enough time to read Parsha Zohar before Purim in that case. And it, because we had from Rosh Chodesh all the way till the 14th was fine. And that is Kol Shechal Purim Liot Betocha, a few bear of Shabbos, and that's exactly what this would be. So then we would have no gap, because we paskin like Rav, and we would have the Parshas Zohar immediately afterwards, and then the first gap that you would have would be only on the week afterwards, which is the Shabbat Shlishit. The Shabbat Shlishit is Purim itself. It'll be the 15th if Rosh Chodesh was the first. Exactly. So, Zatu. Thank you very much. So if Shabbos Zion is Rosh Chodesh, then the first Hafsaka and only Hafsaka will be Tet Vav. Okay. And then Bu. Okay, so Bu refers to the same issue. If Rosh Chodesh comes out on a Beis, so then the only time that you will have a Hafsaka is on a Vav. Because if Rosh Chodesh is on Monday, so then the Hafsaka will be the next Shabbat. And the next Shabbat is basically the 6th of Adar, because since you read Parsha Shkolim during Shvat, so now you have that extra week, and you got to move up Parsha Zohar to be closer to Purim. And therefore, the gap will be the gap of the week between Parsha Shkolim and Parsha Zohar. But since you pushed off Parsha Zohar, now you won't have a gap between Parshas Porah and Parshas HaChodesh HaZelachem. Because since you used up that Shabbos, you're going to have to now, the Shabbos immediately after Purim, you're going to have to read from the Dafka, from the Porah, and then the week after, in order to make sure that you have Parshas HaChodesh said before Nisan, you'll have to read Parshas HaChodesh. The one thing that is important to recognize is that there are no other options except for the Zion, Beis, Dalet, and Vav. The reason for that is because there is no, since we need to avoid Pesach coming out on a Yom Sheni B'Shabbos. And the reason that that's true is because we have a klal that Pesach cannot be Badu, because of the fact that if it is Badu, then we're going to get into Adu. And Adu is Rosh Hashanah. And since Lo Adu Rosh, and the reason Lo Adu Rosh is because of Yom Kippur, remember, that we want to avoid having 2 days that are Osur Basias Malacha in a row. So because of the Mesim or because of the preparation of food, if you recall. So if you have a Kvias of the months that we do have now, then we can't have Badu being Pesach either. In which, because it'll inevitably come out that they were going to be over on the Adu Rosh. So therefore, the only days that could be Rosh Chodesh Adar are only Zavdu, Zion, Beis, Dalet, and Vav. And that's why the four simonim that we have are only those four simonim, because there's no other days that we have to worry about. So we only have the Zatu, and we only, but it's the Zion, and Beis, which is Bu. And then we have Dalet, which is Dad. And the reason that it's Dad is also very obvious, because if Rosh Chodesh comes out on Yom Rivi'i, so then what happens? Then the Hafsaka is going to be on that Shabbos, which is the 4th of the month, the Shabbos after Rosh Chodesh. And then the same thing will happen. Since we've put off Parsha Zohar, so now we're going to read without any other option. We're going to read Parshas Purah immediately after Purim, and then we're going to have to read Parshas HaChodesh immediately after that in order for it to come out before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So that would be the obvious meaning of Dad. And then what's the meaning of Ubayo? Ah, Ubayo is the only case where we will have two Hafsakot. So therefore, if Rosh Chodesh comes out on an Erev Shabbos, now this would be the issue that we had in the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, so then if Rosh Chodesh comes out on an Erev Shabbos, there's going to be a Hafsaka on the second of the month, and then the second Hafsaka will be on the 16th of the month, because we're going to then have time for two gaps in that particular case, because we said if it's Chal B'toch HaShabbat, so then we're going to be Mafsik for the previous Shabbos, and then we're going to have, if we hold like Rav, we're going to have a gap, and that means that we're not going to be reading Parshas Zohar until we get to the 9th of the month, and that's the one that's going to be Somach L'Purim. Then the next Shabbos turns out to be the 16th after Purim. We're going to skip that, because even though it's Smuch L'Achareah, we will not use it for Parah Aduma because of what we said before. Because since in that case, Rosh Chodesh Nisan is going to be coming out on Shabbos, and we're going to be able to read it on the Shabbos, we have an extra week that we could push off Parshas Parah for. And therefore, we have two gaps, which is Vav. The first gap will be Beis. The second gap will be Yud Vav, meaning on the 16th. That very simple siman, and that explains to you all of the esoterica. You don't need to remember any of it, because once you know what the logic is, obviously it just, you know, it just presents itself very clearly of what you're taking into consideration. Okay, but I didn't want you to be coming out of the sugya without being able to look at the esoteric sidurim and figure out what's going on. So it was necessary to say that. Sorry for the delay, and we'll see you, Bezrat Hashem Yisborach, be zochet to see you tomorrow, all feeling well and happy and smiley and full of besirot tovot and rejoicing at Hoshia Samechu Varechas Nachasecha Urim V'Naseim Ad Olam. Can you imagine what the Asifat HaZekenim will be like in the Beis HaMikdash? Because that Asifat HaZekenim ultimately is going to include a real Asifat HaZekenim from across all of the Dereis. I mean, wouldn't you want to have one of your Dayanim being, you know, Avram Avinu and Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu? It'd be nice to have Moshe there, like the Gemara says. I mean, if Moshe's there, we've got to worry. I mean, we don't have to paskin halacha now, Hilchas Mashicha, and so on and so forth. You know, so every generation's got somebody to offer over there for those Shivim Zakenim. I mean, imagine, we've got Rashi there, we've got the Rambam there. You know, I always imagine Rib Shloime Zalman being there because of his sweetness and ability to relate in that special. It's an amazing thing. So when you think about it, we daven that special tefillah for the restoration of the Shoftim Kabarishona. It could be a very, very close and intimate bezdin that we're talking about, which we would rejoice. Mamash rejoice at saying, Halavai.